Well, good afternoon, brethren, and happy Sabbath. You may be planning a road trip for the feast this year, but some of us may be staying at home due to certain circumstances. But regardless, most of us here have probably been on a road trip of some sort or another at one time or another. Hitting the road, venturing to a desired destination. Yeah, you could call a road trip a journey. A journey is defined as traveling from one place to another, usually taking a rather long time, a trip. Passage or progress from one stage to another. And when we set out on a journey, you know, there's a certain excitement, looking ahead, imagining getting to your destination. What is it about getting away somewhere that can bring about this excitement? Is it just getting away from the everyday cares of life? Being in a different environment? Seeing loved ones you haven't seen in a while. Thinking about the fun activities you'll be engaging in. Or just plain rest from work. Or possibly all of the above. Well, there's a saying about going on a trip that half the fun is getting there. The planning, the excitement that builds. The actual trip itself. You never know what you'll see along the way. But as we all know, the journey can be hard. Traffic can be bad. Maybe an accident on the road. Road construction that can delay your plans. Bad weather, heavy rains will definitely slow you down. A long road trip can be exhausting. But as bad as it gets sometimes, we don't just say, you know what, forget it. I don't want to go to the beach now anyways. We're just turning around and going home. No, we don't usually do that, right? Sure, there may be some emergency that comes up, but under normal circumstances, we know that the traffic will clear eventually, the rain will eventually let up, and we can be back on our way. Though we become fatigued and weary, we know if we keep rolling down the path, we will get to our desired destination. So, what keeps us going on this journey with the obstacles and the fatigue? Well, we keep going because we keep focus on where we are going. We keep that vision of our destination in our minds. Life is a journey. It's a long trip, right? A passage from one stage to another. As we know, the journey of life is a lot more difficult than a regular road trip. For one, it's a lot longer. The trials on a road trip are only a fraction of those that we experience in life. Our ultimate desired destination in life may not seem as real as our road trip destination. We can't go online and look up pictures of our desired ultimate destination. We just have a mental picture. A picture that God gives us through His Word and Spirit. But that picture isn't very clear. Sometimes I think about when the Europeans first started traveling across the Atlantic Ocean here to the new country. They traveled facing unimaginable obstacles to get here. These people had to be extremely focused on their destination to be so determined to make that trip. They set sail on vessels that we can all be assured were not as smooth sailing as the cruise ships today. But on our life's journey, we may not have a GPS to guide us, but we do have a map, instructions to get to our desired destination. On a road trip, there's typically not somebody that's desperately trying to keep us from reaching that destination, although sometimes it seems like a family member might seem like they're trying to do that. But on our life's journey, there is someone that's trying to knock us off our path, to take away our vision of that destination. When we were born, we started our life's journey. We began a new journey when God called us into His truth. For this message today, we'll look at the importance of keeping the focus on and the vision of that destination we seek, the kingdom of God. The title of this message will be Traveling with a Vision. Viktor Frankl, the concentration camp survivor, wrote a landmark work in 1946 titled Man's Search for Meaning. In it, he shared his deeply embedded observations of life and death as molded by personal experience at the Auschwitz death camp during World War II. Frankl's work is summed up with his firsthand observation as to why some captives survived while others died. He pondered why some with good health, intelligence, and survival skills did not survive, while others who lacked these attributes endured and lived. He concluded that the single most significant factor for survival was a sense of a future vision. That is, those who survived had a conviction that they had a mission to perform, some important work to do. A vision of a destination that was far better than their current circumstances. Such a clear analysis of a grim situation may sound obvious, but yet the circumstances those people lived under could basically just turn them into the living dead, void of strength to go forward. Basically, they just lost their will to live. This shows the importance of having a future vision. Let's turn to Matthew 13. Begin in verse 11. Jesus reveals here that we have been given a special vision. Matthew 13, verse 11. The disciples came to Jesus and asked why he spoke in parables. Matthew 13, verse 11. He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." Let's drop down to verse 16. He says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This speaks to us. The knowledge of his kingdom has been given to us as a vision. So just how vital is this sense of a future vision to us as we move forward to where we are striving to go? Proverbs 29, verse 18, I'll just read the King James Version. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people suffer. But happy is he who keeps the law." Now, the real world around us is on a journey too. It continues to move down a one-way conveyor belt, leading to prophetic intervention and divine judgment. I mentioned earlier about someone who wants to disrupt our journey, knock us off the path of our desired destination. The Bible clearly underscores the reality that our world has been held captive by the sway of an aggressive spiritual regime since Adam and Eve made a fatal decision to reject God's way in the Garden of Eden. Struggle for existence has ensued ever since. The first prophetic words related in Scripture speaks to this struggle in Genesis 3 and verse 15. I'll just read this. As God told the serpent in Eden, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Ever since that time, Satan the devil, the serpent of old, that great dragon, has been out to devour and eliminate humanity. This powerful spiritual adversary is striving to extinguish all who are made in God's image with the destiny to become immortal by God's grace. He strives to obstruct our vision and to knock us off our path. And his work is on clear display in the world around us. The prophetic passage of Matthew describes a future in which this demonic desire nearly becomes a reality. Jesus Christ said of that coming time, "Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." That's Matthew 24, verse 22. Oh yes, Satan is busy and powerful. But the good news is that God the Father and his Son are even busier and in ultimate control. Let's turn to Isaiah 46. Romans 16 verse 2 tells us that Satan's reign will soon end. It says the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Isaiah 46, we'll read verses 9 and 10. It says, through the prophet Isaiah, God declares, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." God will do as he pleases, as he wants, regardless of what Satan devises to do. And a significant part of what he pleases to do is to call us to be part of his incredible spiritual family and to lead us to his kingdom. Let's turn to Ephesians 1 and we'll read verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul speaks to this reality here in Ephesians 1. Verses 4 and 5. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, as he pleases. But yet, the world of global events, coupled with our own world of personal, emotional, spiritual challenges, can come into a collision and dim our vision of the glorious future God has in store for us." In the New Living Translation in Daniel 7 and verse 25, it shows an ongoing principle that motivates Satan and his minions to defy the Most High and wear down the holy people of the Most High. To wear down. Does that fit us? Do we feel worn down? Like being on that road trip. Seems like the closer you get to your destination, the more exhausted you get. That is, if you don't take the time to refresh and refuel. You know, on a long road trip, it's nice to pull off on a rest area, have a little snack, walk around a little, stretch your legs. gives you a little more energy to keep on the trip. On our road of life, we have a weekly refresher in the Sabbath day and the annual holy days with the fellowship and instruction to give us that extra charge of energy we need to continue on our journey, giving us more strength as we go. Remember Frankl's words we read earlier? It's the vision. We want to maintain a forward vigilance and firm understanding that we are not alone in this world that's filled with frustration and disappointment. We want to make sure we remain living sacred vessels for God's purposes and not allow ourselves to be paralyzed by external forces. But unfortunately, we can put ourselves in a cage of our own making, stifles our spiritual movement towards the promises of God's kingdom. And so, like the victims of Auschwitz, we can travel down a sure road of the living dead to simply spiritually deceased. It can happen if we lose our vision. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. Perhaps that's why God inspired the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians to give us a little kick in the seat, or maybe a nudge of the heart, and remind us to look beyond our current struggles and even beyond the devastating prophetic future events and establish a truly godly focus that allows us to keep all life's matters in perspective. You know, on a small scale, isn't that kind of like when we're on a road trip? We kind of look beyond our current trials and focus on that getaway. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says here, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." That renewal comes from God, His Word and Spirit, and for keeping our eyes on that destination. We're not alone. God is there to help us. He helps us to continue on, knowing where we are going. Paul here is systematically leading us to the greatest spiritual outcome in a Christian's life. Let's continue on in 2 Corinthians 4 here, verse 17. It says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Sometimes it's hard to really grasp that. You know, our troubles can seem so big sometimes. Have you ever asked anybody about their troubles or challenges? They're probably not going to say, "Oh, they're light and momentary." you hear what these days, a lot of people say, "Oh, it's the worst year ever. I can't wait for 2020 to be over." But Paul says, the weight by which to measure everything is not what happens in the moment, but the weighty realm of eternity. He then provides one final contrast to maintain stillness of heart. Verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 4 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Here's that vision thing again. Our hearts need eyes. So a question: what side of the ledger are we on? Light or heavy? Momentary or eternal? Visible or unseen? Trapped in time and space, 2020? Or focusing on eternity? We can't always choose what comes our way, but we can choose how to respond to it by what pair of eyes we select. Eyes that are fixed on eternity come from God. They're given as a gift when He begins to call us and work with us. Sometimes we forget that he gave us something very special in the process of becoming a new creation for his purpose and pleasure. You're still in 2 Corinthians. Let's flip over to chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It's from the New King James Version. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 3 that being brought forth anew of God's Spirit, being born again, would allow us to see the kingdom of God. When we read that, we probably think, you know, in a sense that this is referring to the time when we're actually able to enter into God's kingdom and glory, when we may fully behold all being spirits ourselves. But God has given us eyes to see even today. Think about how he provided an actual supernatural vision of that glorious future to some of his disciples in the incident known as the Transfiguration. Here they were able to see the kingdom of God present with power. And you can read that in Mark 9 and verses 1 through 10. But yet even in daily life, through the teachings of Christ, the whole Bible, and through his Spirit, we are enabled to imagine and focus on that wonderful kingdom. To see it with our hearts and minds more and more. Seeing God's kingdom is not just a future destination, it's also a way of traveling. Here and now, with the eyes of our new hearts, always spiritually synchronized to a reality purposed by God, traveling with a vision. He has invited us to participate as kings and priests, serving under Jesus Christ in his eternal kingdom. We are invited to an ageless and unending realm. In Revelation 21 and 4, verse 4 states that this is time when God will wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Do we have a vision of that? H.G. Wells once wrote a short story called The Country of the Blind. It told of a man who fell over a cliff into an isolated valley. It was isolated from the rest of the world. And he discovered that all the people there were blind. They had no eyes in their faces. No one had seen the sky. They didn't know what sunlight was. They were incredibly inventive and clever with their hands, but they only believed in what they could taste, touch, and feel. Sound familiar? When the visitor told the inhabitants about the world of sun, sky, and stars that he saw, and that was so real to him, but they mocked him at first. Eventually, they insisted he undergo an operation. These two bulging soft items in his face must be the cause of his delusions. Once removed, he would be like them and be satisfied with the world of things he touched, smelled, and tasted. But rather than lose his vision of what he knew to be true, he escaped and climbed up the cliff in which he had fallen. Bruised, bleeding, and tired from the strenuous journey, he rested on a ledge and gazed on the brilliance of the setting sun and stared at the colors of the rock all around. But rather than become like those around him in the country of the blind, he made a choice to save his vision. This is a choice we have daily. It said that God created the hearing ear and the seeing eye. But as his spiritual children, God has bequeathed us spiritual ears to reap faith and eyes that we might see his kingdom, no matter what obstructs our view. Perhaps it's Scripture's account of the spiritual visionaries who have gone before us allows us to properly grasp the advice of the Auschwitz survivor that a sense of a future vision made all the difference. It's called a way of traveling. Traveling with a vision. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. I'll read verses 13 through 16. Hebrews 11, verse 13, is referring to a record of men and women of faith who kept going despite their difficulties. Hebrews 11, verse 13. It said, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Like the man in the country of the blind, or more directly so, like the patriarchs of old, we want to hold on to those eyes of the heart. These gifts from God will keep us on the way to where we are going. Let's turn to Ezekiel 12. We'll read verses 21 through 23 for our final scripture. Ezekiel 12. Brethren, we've looked at the importance of keeping that vision that we've been given. We should keep it in the forefront of our thoughts. Ezekiel 12, verse 21. Says, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, what is this proverb you have in the land of Israel? The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm going to put an end to this proverb, and they will no longer quote it in Israel. Say to them, the days are near when every vision will be fulfilled. His purpose will stand. He pleases to lead us to his kingdom. As we read earlier, God will do his pleasure. But brethren, we're on the road trip of our lives, traveling to a better country. Life is a journey leading to the ultimate Feast of Tabernacles. But yes, the road can be long and difficult. Let's look past these obstacles and keep our eyes on the weighty eternity. We have the map and the instructions of his word. We have the church to help guide us. Weekly Sabbaths, annual holy days that we so need to keep our vision in focus. The fall holy days picture events yet to come. In a couple of days, as we've mentioned, we'll be celebrating atonement, picturing a time when Satan, the one trying desperately to knock us off our path, will be bound, his influence taken away. We look forward to that time. But just like that excitement we get going on that road trip to that desired destination, let's keep that vision and focus on God's coming kingdom and keep that excitement every day as we travel with a vision. Mm-hmm.